So this week, and I wish all of you could go through it, but I did get some copies, and if you're ever interested, let me know. But I went through a one-week class on happiness, holiness. It was about being in a right relationship with God by taking a look at what you're spending all your time doing, what is all on your plate, about taking care of yourself. Because there's a message in the that we hear all the time that the first thing you do is give everything to God. You wear yourself out. The more tired you are, the busier you are, the more glory you give to God. Well, that's not true. I mean, maybe you're giving glory to God by what you're doing. But in obedience, too, we love God with all that we are. And we love our neighbors as ourselves. So I have to love my neighbor, but I have to love myself in order for all that to work. And that means taking care of myself. It means taking care of you. We're coming in busy times, and I don't know, it caused me to look at my planner. Because it just seems there's not enough time. And in my planner, it doesn't cover up all the minutes that I'm using. And in life, we get hit with all kinds of little things that seem to take up time that we're not even called really to do. But somehow this world just has a way of sucking us in. It's like I had this schedule of what I'm going to do for God, and I start to go for it. Now, you probably had days like this too. You get partway through the day, and the next thing you know, you're getting sucked into somebody else's problems. You're getting sucked into other stuff. And next thing you know, you just spend half your day in something that you know that God didn't want you to do, but for some reason, that vortex just took you in. So it caused me to write some questions right on my board because I have to be reminded constantly. So on my whiteboard right in front of my desk, I have two questions. And maybe you can benefit for these two. Who and what are truly important in my life? Who has God called me to be? And what are the commitments I cannot live without? And I share this because we're coming into some busy times. Things are going to be happening within the church. You heard a week from tomorrow, we're going to have our back-to-school bash meeting. I really believe this is an important ministry of our church. But I also know that we do not have enough leaders and workers to make sure that this happens in August. So if we don't have more people involved, more people taking ownership and leadership, if our church doesn't get more active in this, then I don't know if it can truly happen. You know, it was one of those things as I looked in my life at things that I could get rid of and things that I couldn't or shouldn't. Back to school bash was one of those things I really feel was important because it ministers to our community. This week, we submitted all our final paperwork to the city in order to go forward on the purchasing the land. So on Tuesday, the city council will be meeting and talking about that. Also this week, the environmental study came back and it looks really, really good in order for us to go forward on everything else. So it's getting really exciting. So next is the geographical study. And then we'll be talking about some things at the board meeting to arrange to have some people come in and talk to us as a church about buildings and styles and furnishings and what it will cost and what we can do. We're going to have to raise some money eventually to order to get to where we want to be because by the time we have the building done, we want to be debt free. We don't want to be in debt. So please be praying about that. And as we go forward, praying about how God wants you involved. But I know that it's going to take time and it's going to take commitment from the people. And for me, it's a time of taking a look at what am I doing that God wants me to do and continue to do? And what are the things I'm just doing because I want to do? Because this life, this ministry that we're in, it can keep us pretty busy. Last week, we went through John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. I really felt that I didn't give it justice. It was one of those days, and maybe God had me beat to my knees a little bit and just worn out just to show me what I needed to change and what I needed to give up. where I was at and made me ready for this class that I took and to spend some more intimate time with him. But I want to go over this a little bit more before we go further on, because this first part in chapter 10, these first verses here, they just set the tone. Jesus is revealing himself to the people, telling them who he is, telling him what's going to happen. Just he's coming out of the door and just showing everybody, I am the one you've been waiting for. And as I read through this again this week, it just made me realize that Jesus is the one we've been waiting for. I mean, it's really fun to know it up here, but when you know it in here, you just feel all giddy and you walk around town with that silly grin, singing songs to yourself and just happy. It's actually a good place to be. So we're just going to go through it a little bit more, and as we'll progress on to the verse for today. I really don't think we can go over this too much anyway. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. So to set the picture a little bit better here, the Pharisees were the self-proclaimed leaders, spiritual leaders of Israel. Have you ever had anybody come into your life and say, I am the boss. I know everything. Oh, I remember working at one place that one of my first jobs, Kmart. I'd been working there for years, and they hired this new employee, and this new employee was a know-it-all, and they came in. I was their boss. And they came in and proceeded to tell me exactly how I should be doing my job. It drove me nuts. But we have that even in today. People who come in, they're just kind of the self-proclaimed experts, the self-proclaimed leaders. And that's what the Pharisees were to the Jews. They lived by the laws, but in their heart, they weren't right with God. And we'll see more of that further on. But they told the people, they instructed the people, because of what we have done and who we are, you will respect us, you will follow us, you will be obedient. So many self-proclaimed messiahs had come to the Jewish people, but none of them had come through the Old Testament prophecies. None of them had come the way that it was predicted that the Messiah would come. They were not shepherds, but they were thieves and robbers. Thieves took what did not belong to them, and the robbers would use some force in getting it. And Jesus was speaking to them and just kind of saying it right in their face to the Pharisees, you're thieves and robbers. Because they wanted to control the Jews in order to get everything they could through their power and through finances. They wanted to do everything they could to keep them from accepting Jesus as the Messiah, because once they accepted Jesus, then everything they had worked for would be gone. How many times have I heard somebody either on TV or somewhere say, I speak the truth. And then they say something and I'm looking in God's word, because God's word is the truth. I'm looking all through it and saying, well, I don't see that anywhere. Or they say, if you do not come and do it my way in my church, then you will never, ever make it. It's like they've tried to condense and keep God in some little small building. Well, Jesus proclaims them. He says, I'm the shepherd of the sheep. He's the one who's entered the one door in the fold. He is the one who's fulfilled the prophecies about the coming Messiah. And then it talked about the guard, the doorkeeper, who opens the door to let in the shepherd, and the sheep recognize his voice. I believe this is the Holy Spirit who works in our hearts. He opens the door to our hearts to allow Jesus to come in. He helps us to recognize his voice. He helps us to know that it's him. The sheep hear his voice, and the shepherd calls them by name and leads them out of the fold in the green pastures. We hear his voice, and he calls us by name. See, the sheep in the fold refer to the Jewish nation who had been held in the spiritual bondage by the leaders of that day. Jesus came, and the people heard him, and they recognized something about his voice. They began to recognize him as the Messiah. And he called them by name, and he led them out of the bondage in which they had been held. Sometimes in life, and especially in church life, we just can feel trapped in traditions and certain things. It takes just a moment to see Jesus, who he is, to allow him into our hearts and allow him to lead us into eternal life. It just takes a moment for all that to change. Now think about, before this in chapter 9, we'd read about the blind man. Remember, Jesus had come and he healed this man from blind from birth, and the Pharisees couldn't get anything out of it, and they were just frustrated. Well, they did part of the work of Jesus, because at the end, what did they do to him? Well, they booted him out of the synagogue. They kicked him out of the fold. And the first thing that happened is Jesus sought him out and led him out into green pastures. Then Jesus gives us this wonderful picture of what it is like to serve him. The shepherd goes in front of the sheep. The shepherd leads. And the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. And the stranger, the enemy, will try to draw him off course, try to tempt him, and they will not follow because they're not in the habit of speaking and listening and spending time. But they're used to the voice of the good shepherd. I like this part right here because it really reminds me that Jesus goes on before. Jesus leads us. He's in before us. We listen to the sound of his voice. We read the word. We're in prayer. We know who he is, and we're following him. Nowhere does it say in the Bible that Jesus is behind you, kicking you, trying to get you to move, that he's pushing you. Nowhere does it say any of that. It always talks about he's leading, he's going before. Look at the Exodus. They were leading. They were going before. So many times people are talking about, oh, I feel so guilty. So-and-so said, I need to be involved in this. Or this person says, I need to be doing this. And you get this vision of these people are being pushed by other people, by being pushed by their guilt, being pushed by the stuff. And I just have this image that the person who does the pushing is the enemy. Because the shepherd, Jesus, we recognize his voice. We listen to him and we follow him. We go where he wants us to go. It's one of the reasons we talk about prayer so much. We have to be in constant prayer. We have to be continually speaking to him. We have to be continually listening to him. If we're not building that relationship with him, if we're not listening, if we're not following, then we're lost. Jesus used this illustration, and the Pharisees, they didn't understand. They couldn't understand because they were not a sheep. They did not recognize his voice. It makes you wonder at this point, then, who had they been listening to? The Pharisees were the spiritual leaders. It says at verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear him. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So Jesus begins a new illustration. He talks about himself instead of coming through the door, that he is the door. In fact, he says, I am. Remember, that's a kind of some verbiage that's used for God. I am the door. He is the way. And now it was people who were coming to him, they were coming to the door. Now, there were others who had come before Jesus who were claiming to be what they were not, and the people did not listen to them because in their hearts, they didn't understand. They didn't really believe that these people were who they claimed. It's that discernment that that we have through the Holy Spirit today, because there are going to be people in your lives who claim to be carrying the message, who claim to be carrying the truth, who want you to do it their way. And the Holy Spirit's going to speak to your heart and say, that's not the way. That's not where I want you to go. They are not from God. He says, I am the door, and if anyone enters through me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. If you read on further in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus is the door. Christianity is not a creed. It's not just a church. It is a person. It's Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying here, as he says multiple times, that anyone who enters solely through him will inherit eternal life. They will get salvation. But we must enter into a personal act with Jesus, receive him by faith. And we'll go in and out. We go into worship and to receive, and we go out to minister and to proclaim. It's like I have this vision of we come in to be fed, and we go out to feed. He says the thief comes for purely selfish reasons, to steal, kill, and destroy. He would even kill the sheep in order to get his desires. Jesus didn't come for any selfish reasons. He came to give life and to give it abundantly. The Pharisees were all about themselves. They're all in it for what they could get out of it. We have people in the church today who are in it for selfish reasons, for selfish motives. Some are for power. Some, I guess, for money. Some are just to impress people about what a wonderful person they are. But when it comes right down to it, of putting their life on the line for the gospel, it's like, I'm out of here. You guys are on your own. I've seen it in churches and ministries where people are hurt and discouraged because they have somebody come in and give them grandiose dreams of what it's going to be like now to worship and to praise and these great things that are going to happen. And then a year or 2 years down the road, something shinier comes along. And they're off. God does have a plan. He has a plan for this church. In fact, I should have brought it down. I just got in the mail yesterday a certificate for the Goldendale Church of the Nazarene. In November 19th, I think it was, we celebrated 100 years of incorporation. And then it went on to say that there are only like 19 corporations out of like over 2,000, 3,000 corporations that are still in existence from 1919. And I thought, whoa, that's awesome. But then I also thought, well, how many of those corporations would have been like we are, where you start and you really haven't harvested to your potential? And it really led me to believe that God's not anywhere near finished with us yet. As I look at what he's doing with the people, the ministries, the property, one of the things that I've begun doing is to do a little personal pruning, but also looking within our church. And we had our first, it was a group of people who were involved in Sunday school, missions, we'll have music involved, the stewards. But looking at what we're doing as far as a church that's working, because we're doing some awesome things, but looking at some things that we're just doing because, well, that's the way we've done it here in Goldendale for the past 100 years, and that's how it's going to be. There are some things that are doing great harvest and some things that are just wearing you people out without doing any harvest. But then there's other things, too, that I think we're doing really well for ourselves. But if we adjusted them just a little bit, we could take it from ourselves and do wonderful things for that same ministry for our community. So we're praying about this and we're looking, because we're not going to wait for a new church building to do all these things. But we want to continue to be prepared. We want to continue. And I realize I don't want to wear all of you out. We want to make sure that we're being wise stewards with our time and our talents. So there are some things that we're going to have to adjust. There are some changes that are coming. We're not going to change everything at once. But we want to be obedient. Because we serve a God who's a creator. And as a God who's a creator, he continues to change. He continues to create. Well, let's finish up at verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches him and scatters him. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them in also. And they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up. This commandment I received from my Father. Jesus presents himself as a good shepherd who would lay down his life for his sheep. See, the Pharisees, they were the hired hands, and they didn't own the sheep. They didn't own them, but they were solely interested in what they could get out of the sheep. And they would desert them at the first sign of trouble for themselves. See, the hired hand, kind of that mentality with sometimes in the ministry, is only there to do a job, only there to earn a wage. They don't have an attachment or investment in the sheep. They're only concerned about their own welfare. Can you imagine you're sitting there with a group of pastors, and some of them are talking and praising and give glory to God and just enjoying the ministry. And then somebody says, I would sure love the ministry if it weren't for all those people. And then another one chimes in and says, yeah, those people, they can sure take a lot of energy and a lot of time. You know, as ministers, as people who minister to our community, sheep have a tendency to wander and do their own thing. But the real shepherd, the one who really cares for them, continues to love them. So again, Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. The word good is ideal, worthy, choice, excellent. And he talks about this intimate relationship with him and his sheep. He knows his own and his own knows him. But next he compares this relationship that he has with the sheep with the relationship that he has with God. God and Jesus have been together forever. They're in constant communion with one another. Jesus is constantly in love and doing the will of the Father. The Father is continually loving his Son. The love, the power, everything involved in that. Now Jesus says this same relationship he has with his sheep. This constant communication, this constant love, this constant care and protection, the constant obedience. That's what we, the sheep, have with Jesus as being his people. But then he says, I have other... This is really... I wanted to make sure I got this in today, because this is the awesome news for us. He says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Now I must bring them in also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Jesus is talking about those who weren't of the Jewish faith, the Gentiles. The Gentile sheep, they weren't of the Jewish fold, but the heart of Jesus went out to them, and he was on a mission to bring the Gentiles into the fold with the others. And so instead of having the Gentiles and the Jews, now there would be the Christ followers. The followers of Jesus. He was bringing them all together. There's this beautiful relationship with Jesus and the Father that our humanists cannot comprehend. Jesus came out of love, love for the Father, and love for his sheep. Jesus came to bring all of us together. And we were just thinking, man, they're never going to get it. Those people are so far away. That person is too mean, too stubborn, too just evil to get it. And that's almost exactly the same thing at one time that the Gentiles thought about, or the Jews thought about the Gentiles. And Jesus came in and said, all my sheep together, the people I came, it doesn't matter skin color, doesn't matter what form of life you came from, if you come from me, the good shepherd, if you come through my door, if I am the way, the truth, and the life, am I am, if you come to me, you'll be of one fold. That's pretty awesome to think about. It continues to give me hope for the people that are on my Pray for Five list. And I hope you're still praying on your Pray for Five, because there's some people on my list that have been there for years that I've just been praying, God, are they going to get it? Just sick and tired because they just don't seem to be making any changes. And then I read here. And then I get a call a few weeks ago from this. I didn't even recognize the number. I'm not even praying for this guy. He was a guy who was in one of my groups for counseling. And he called me up just to let me know that he'd been sober for over 20 years. And that his life has changed. Because when we parted, he thought I was a jerk. Had just shared with him the truth. And of course, I told him I loved him, but back then it was like when I told him I loved him, I was like, yeah, I still love you, even though you're a jerk too. But it was a reminder to me that God continues to work, and Jesus, the sacrifices continue to bring the sheep together. So please, if you have those Pray for Five lists, or if you need a new one, continue to be praying. Because Jesus hasn't come back yet, so God's not done.